rush of changed up girlfriends has happened in the past 2 weeks. Steve was here last week with Kathy sitting in for me, and he's here this week sitting in for little Kath.
I don't feel like talking today, though, so if you don't mind, I'll just...
You are so fired.
I'll sit here and offer you
That's
support.
That's my Donald Trump imitation.
You know, just so you know, I'm here for you, but I'm not really here with you, okay?
Okay, will give that me that million-dollar check back. So, Kath is in New York, and I don't know, I assume you're a Facebook friend, but she posted the best picture this morning,
oh,
you guys.
Really?
The picture was of, why, do you have an A-list and a B-list for Facebook?
Do I?
Uh-huh. Did you see
I've
it,
not
or
figured that out yet, because right now I have so many people on my Facebook page who, I love them all, but I just don't follow. I just don't, you know.
You just scroll through?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I hate about Facebook is when it tells you that someone who's on your list likes something else. I can't deal with that. It's too many cousins removed. You know, it doesn't feel like I should have to know what they felt with or even take up the space. There's got to be a way to edit.
Kathy today did something nice.
Yes. Oh, was I wandering?
No.
Oh. So anyway, Kathy posts a picture of a family walking in New York to mom, dad, and kid in stroller. Mom's looking at the phone. Dad's looking at the phone. Kid's looking at the iPad. Nobody's talking.
Right.
And she just said, 216 in Manhattan, you know, 216.
Well,
no, it's not. It's 416 in April.
It's 4-1.
It's 4-2.
Is it? Yeah.
Yesterday was April Fool's Day. April Fool's! No. Steve, you're not clicking.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to sign on to the computer so I could be completely
informed.
Wired up. And yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, go ahead.
No, it's not working. I can't do it. So.
Oh. So you're just floating in the air. Well, let's talk.
So my son and daughter are, my wife and daughter are in, my wife and son are in L.A. for little spring break time.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the James Corden show.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night. And so I got the text. Oh, did you see Noah? He was on stage with James Corden. Very, very cool.
I didn't click. You posted it, but I didn't click the thing because.
Well, because it was an April Fool's joke from my wife.
Oh,
my very funny wife said, oh, no, April Fool's. So.
Well, how did she get a picture of Noah on.
There was no such thing. He was not on stage with him.
Oh. Well, then, who'd she post a picture of?
It was a joke. No, she sent me a text saying...
Oh, a text.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder I didn't see it. I haven't hacked your phone yet.
So we have an hour and 45 minutes left. It's going to get so much more fluent.
Well,
I cannot wait.
That's 30% up to you. So I'll do 70. You do 30. That's fair enough.
Don't pressure me.
Oh, okay. So in the meantime, what I did want to talk about was with you in particular is not finishing a book.
Yes.
And there was a group of books tested covering the range of reading categories among, I can't remember how many people, 1,000 something, which is survey worthy. I think it's 612 people have to participate in a survey to make it sort of valid. And fewer than half of the books that they tested were finished by man readers.
And that's more than women? Women will finish?
Yeah. Most readers typically give up a book in the, you can't read what this says, in the first few chapters. Women tend to quit after 50 to 100 pages. Men, only 30 to 50%.
Yeah.
Men are quick deciders.
Yeah, I just can't. It's such a hard, for me, it's a failure on my part if I stop reading a book, you know, because clearly whoever's written the book has worked hard on it. It must be good if it's published. And
no, don't say that. There are thousands of books published that aren't good.
I know, but if it's published by a major house, there must be some value to it. And for me to just stop reading it is, I hate it. And then the book sits, you know, it's in my house. And then I see it and I'm like, oh, yeah, failure. There's a failure. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean because our number is actually 312-981-7200, your rules about finishing books. Or I used to be more like you. But since time is getting short for me. No, since I just don't want to put up with something that I'm not enjoying, I do put down a book, except the one I've got now was written by a woman I know, and it's about a family. I love distressed family books, and it's about a distressed family, and they're taking a child to an institution, and it's really interesting.
Institution as in?
Like... It's a
checked
damaged
in.
Child.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And it's a funny book about this, but the pace is really slow. It's not a long book, but the pace is really slow. And I've got 100 pages left, and I don't think I'm going to make it. And I love this girl's first book.
How many pages have you read?
177.
And you're going to give up with 100 pages left.
I might do that thing that I've never done before, which is look at the back.
Really?
Oh, no. My God. Will you still stay with me on the show?
No.
You might have to walk out.
You've got to finish that book.
So, I don't.
Okay.
For you what? Or when we come back, will you tell me what?
I'll tell you the best beginning to a book, even though I don't remember the opening lines, but the one book I read that said, oh, my God, I've got to finish this book. Coming up.
That is interesting and effective, I imagine. Well, especially with you.
Right.
Our number again is 981-7200, area code 312. And give us a call and tell us what your finishing a book rules and regulations are. This is the Kathy and Judy Show with Steve Bertrand filling in for Kathy today, and we'll be right back. That reminds me of Brokeback Mountain, which was a short story, not a book.
By? But
the story of Brokeback Mountain, not a song.
Who's it by? It was a woman who wrote?
Oh, Annie Dillard.
Okay. Anyway, a lot of calls. Go to calls.
A lot of calls. Yeah, let's talk to Lisa with her rule. Lisa, what's your rule about?
Our rule is the 30-page rule.
Okay.
If you're within 30 pages, sometimes it's 50 pages. Of the end of the book, you can't talk to the other person till they finish.
Okay. All right. So that's your rule.
And we've done it for 35 years. It seems to have worked.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's a good one for someone who, if you're within 30 pages of finishing a book, you can't talk to someone. Do I understand?
So you can't
that?
Share. You cannot discuss it. You can't say, here's what's happening. You have to wait for the person to finish, too.
Oh, right. Do you read books in pairs?
You also can't talk to them about anything else.
Because you're reading the book.
Like soup for dinner or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just have to let them do their thing, and then they finish, and it's like, okay, now you can talk to me again.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lisa. I lost you, Lisa. Okay.
Okay. And let's talk to Donna next. Because she does something I don't understand. Hey, what do you do?
Hi. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I tried to read The Boys in the Boat. I even bought the book version, large print. My husband read it, really liked it.
The Boys on the Boat. Okay.
The Boys in the Boat.
In the boat, right.
The 1936 crew team at the Olympics.
Right.
Okay. I could not finish it. I complained at the library. They said, how about trying the young adult version? Shorter, had pictures. I read it. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my God. But that doesn't happen with every book.
No, it doesn't. And I try to finish every book. I used to be a teacher, and one time the librarian said, you know, you're not working anymore, not teaching, not in school. You don't have to finish a book if you don't like it.
The librarian said that.
Yes.
Wow.
So, Donna, you finished that book that way. Do you feel like you've really read the book?
Yes, because
you do.
There were too many, just too much detail.
Do you know what? That's what someone said to me, Donna. I said, how's the book? Because I'd heard such good things about it. And she says, there's a lot of rowing.
She She's right. She's right. Getting two-thirds finished and then going to the young adult was wonderful. It's the best way to go.
Okay. Well, I wonder how many books they do that with. If it's is it a school edition that you're actually reading?
Well, it's a young adult. It's at the library. It's out there. And it is the book for St. Charles. St. Charles is asking people to read the book, and then they're having different speakers come in. One of the characters is going to come in. Her father was the main character in the book. She's going to be visiting St. Charles. So it's a whole book.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Now, tell me the name of the author. It's not Charles Baxter, right?
It's Daniel Brown, I believe.
It's Daniel Brown?
Brown. Brown.
Brown? Okay.
Brown. Okay. Like the color brown.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, wonderful man. You should read his full version, I think.
Steve is out with the guilt bucket pouring it on everybody's head who doesn't finish
the book.
I think that was brilliant of you.
I know that so many writers, and these writers pour over every word.
I know, but this one I just couldn't.
You don't owe them that. I've written books. You wouldn't owe me anything.
Oh, I think I would. I think I would owe you that. Because
if you read my book.
I bought the book. Original books. At least I bought something with
forms. You know, Judy, I know you've read two wonderful books, and I'm going to read them one day. And no, but I think that, every syllable, comma, phrase, you sort of tortured over, right?
No.
Well, I think young adult books are great.
I mean, writing is hard, but I wasn't tortured.
Okay.
I was having fun writing.
But they were all important to you. Each was important to you. And so to read the book, no?
Steve, it was just writing.
Really?
You know, Jerry, thank you for the call. Oh, no, that wasn't Jerry. That's Donna.
Right.
Donna,
thanks, Donna,
thank you for the call.
Oh, no, I feel such an obligation to you to read everything you wrote, really.
Oh, well, do you want to see my marketing list?
No, like, you mean it's like in Lambshanks or what?
Okay. And this is Jerry. Hey, Jerry. You're with Steve, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And the more you talk about what you go through writing a book, my daughter wrote one book, and she's writing another now, and it's taken her forever. I love Sue Grafton.
Uh-huh.
Her A is for Alibi, B is for Burglary. I love her books. I love the story. I'm happy when I'm done with it. But she, like you said, goes into such detail. I know what kind of toothpaste she uses and everything. You know, it's really detailed. And that's kind of, sometimes I skim over that part, you know, because it's a little too much. Though I love her books, and I will not not finish.
Oh,
it's hard for me. I just feel like, you know, everything that they wrote, I mean, she chose Crest for a reason.
Yes.
You're right.
I agree wholeheartedly. To buy a book and bring it home and sit down and read it halfway and put it aside and not finish it is like an insult to the writer.
It's such a relationship.
Know?
I just feel like you need to engage everything that they say. In
right.
Really,
right.
You're
Judy,
very reverential.
I am. And I met a lot of writers, you know, and I would never skim over what you wrote, Judy, ever. No. Wouldn't do it.
No, and I can't.
Thank you.
The same with what I said about my daughter. Her first book was a success, and she did really well and everything. Now, this one is taking her forever.
Well, second books are really hard. They're very hard because they get slammed all the time.
Yes.
Jerry, thank you for the call.
You know, Jerry,
sure,
also, things that people don't pay attention to are newscasts because people focus on every word that they write, and I know that's what Susan is doing up in the newsroom right now. So we're going to take a break, come back, and listen to her newscast.
Well, that's happy music, as opposed to the situation I'm going to tell you about and see if some of our listeners have had similar situations and or you, Steve.
Okay.
Okay, so there are four of us going out to dinner. And we like the boy, but we do not like the girl. And she's...
So, two couples. You are the likable girl. There's another girl.
No. I'm talking about the other couple. We like the man of the couple.
Right.
But
and
the
so the other girl is not likable.
Is... She inadvertently gets off color. She's very boisterous. she's just it's difficult to be with them. The boys see each other more frequently because both of us don't. Okay. So we went out to dinner.
She inadvertently gets off color.
She doesn't even know she's saying something inappropriate.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I get it.
I can't say on the radio what happened this last time exactly. So just trust me that it's difficult. And sometimes she's well behaved, but this last time, it was horrible. And we're at
horrible in what way? Just by things she said? Or?
She said things that you could tell her husband was embarrassed about.
Okay.
Genuinely embarrassed. And it was like the three of us were just hoping this would stop soon. And it was like we're at a stage where we're kind of at loggerheads as to whether or not that's the last date or this is just something that we're going to have to endure from time to time.
Right, right.
And, I mean, the ick factor still hasn't left me. Now, have you ever had experience with that? And obviously for our girlfriends, if you've had experience with that, 312-981-7200 is the number. But when you like one person in a couple and you don't, and the other one is difficult to be with, how do you handle it?
So do you have any affection for her at all or no?
Affection?
Yeah. I mean, do you like her?
The embarrassing person?
Right. I mean,
no,
sometimes there's people
much.
Who, you know, just say things or they do things. It's like, yeah, I hate that, but I still really kind of like it.
What do they say?
Yeah.
It's not the person. It's the person's behavior or something.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. But for you, no. There's no.
Well, I'm neutral on her. I mean, but so that is neutral, you know, paired with.
Okay, that's my first question. Secondly, do they pick good restaurants?
I can't remember who picked this restaurant this time. But, or if you know you're married to somebody who can go off on a tangent that is going to just take the whole thing down.
And so do you just let that go or do you bring it up again at the end of the night? Or
who do you bring it up to? You bring it up to the
spouse? To her, yeah, right.
I don't know. You know, it's Saturday night. You're having dinner. You've had two wines. I think if I brought it up, I don't think it would come out as criticism that's helpful criticism.
So Tom, love dinner, love conversation. You should not have said this.
No, he was horrified by.
Right. I know, but just as an example, you know, to say to him, well, you really shouldn't have said that. That would not.
I mean, were
well.
Tom to have been the embarrassing one?
Right.
I would say that to him in the car.
Would you? Okay.
Well, sure. But I just think when, you know, it happens sometimes now and sometimes then. Haven't you ever had that happen where you have different feelings about people in a couple? Our number again is
312-981-7200. I'm thinking of the woman in the Larry David show, the foul mouthed sort of character. You know her?
Was she the one married to Jeff? No, that he
yes, didn't, yeah, married she, to Jeff. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. And so she would always say things that just were completely inappropriate.
Uh huh.
That's hard because you obviously you like the other guy, right?
Right. And, you know, you might say, well, there must be a side of her we don't know. And then you keep thinking,
right.
There can't be
There must
friends.
Be some angel there somehow.
Right. Let's talk to Susan. Our number is 312-981-7200.
Susan, welcome to WGN. Sue.
Yeah. Hi.
Yes. Hello. I live in a small town in the suburbs, and my husband of 37 years grew up here. Matter of fact, we live next door to where he grew up.
Oh my.
When we got married, all of his boyfriends, I still call them boyfriends,
uh-huh.
because these boys all went back to kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
And all of these boys married, of course, and all of us women had to get along. And it's been a rough 37 years because we, and luckily, we're all used to each other now. But sometimes it took a while because our husbands would all get together. We'd have these big parties. You know, we got married in the 70s, so we had all these parties, and then we have all these children, and it's hard sometimes. We've got one gal who, when we would go out, she would get her calculator out, and she would calculate everybody's bill to the penny. she would tell everybody, you owe $14.27, plus, and then she'd figure out your tax on top of that.
Don't you think that her husband was absolutely mortified?
Oh, yes. They're long divorced.
So now what happened? Oh, wait, I have to ask this. Now, what happened when he brought the girlfriend to one of these dinners?
Oh, you got to love this. So the girl...
I knew I would.
The girl he's with now, all these guys knew her, and they all like her. So all of us women had to get used to this girl who all of these guys knew and liked from their class. And now we all have to be friends with her, which she's very nice. We really like her. But it was as if he was bringing along, like, another guy to our...
Oh, because they were all so attached to her from their class.
Oh, yeah. They all knew her from their class, and they all liked her. And everybody knew everybody.
How long did it take you to really like her? Or is it a little different because she hasn't been there since the beginning? Is she a little bit on the outside?
I really don't know her because I'm from Michigan. So, you know.
Don't Michigan know people from somewhere else?
Michiganders are so slow to warm up to people, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, but she's very nice. We've been to their home, da-da-da. I mean, I've known her a long time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we go out and she does not get her calculator out and mark down everyone's bill down to the last penny. But there's always people who do that, or there's people who, and the other hard part is some of the couples didn't have children. And that's always weird when you all get together, and now we all are grandparents. And so, you know.
Okay, so Sue, is there someone in that original club of not the men but the women who you really love?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That we have, I mean, we go out together. We do things together.
Just the women.
Just the women. We get together sometimes. You know, I've even gotten together on just by myself with the original wife of the person who is the penny pincher. And this was only about 1 month ago. We went out for a drink, and she had her little calculator out, and she told me exactly what my lemon drop was going to cost and how much of the appetizers I owed her for.
Now, did you have nostalgic feelings for her, even though she had that same ridiculous habit?
Yes.
She did.
And I were great friends. Our children just loved each other. We had great fun together.
So Sue, you see what you're saying, right? Because when she was part of the crowd, she drove you crazy.
Yes.
And yet she's still a very good friend of yours.
Yeah.
Well, are you that desperate for friends that you have to include calculator lady?
No, I just hadn't seen her in a really long time. She's got a new husband now, and all the kids are older. And so I just took it upon myself to call her.
Okay, well, that was a nice gesture.
Yeah, because sometimes people need, I mean, I feel like I need a call sometimes. So I thought, well, I'm not doing anything tonight. I'm going to call her and see if she, you know, is free tonight. And we can catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but
and so one time, next time?
Yes.
Will there be a next time?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get together, but I'm going to surprise her next time.
How?
I'm going to pay the whole bill.
Oh, my.
I was going to say, bring an abacus.
I'm going to pay the whole darn bill, even if it is $22.47. I'm paying the whole bill.
You had one lemon drop, but you didn't finish it, and I did. I think I should count that into the calculation.
That's right.
Can you drink two of those?
can I drink? No, as a matter of fact, I can barely get through one.
They're so good.
What are they, really?
To them.
It's vodka. And then it tastes like candy. It's kind of like limoncello, you know?
Yeah.
But you got vodka there as your base, so you don't always walk straight after one.
That is Judy Markey. No. I'm Steve Bertrand, filling in for Kathy O'Malley. We're going to take a break.
This is Sue. We're going to say goodbye to you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
More coming up on 720 WGN.
You know what I've learned to do now when I hear music like that? I try and think of the instruments that are playing, but I can't tell what that is. It sounds like a trumpet with something on it, like a mute thing. Isn't it? It's kind of a weird sound. Okay, so I have something I want to ask you, Steve.
Okay.
Because you posted it, and I thought, I'm going to ask him when I see it.
Yeah?
What's Dad Magazine?
What?
You posted a thing about Dad Magazine.
Oh, that was because it was just so corny about the articles they had.
I know, it was such a throwback, but it's... It was
for my daughter. My daughter posted it first, Emma, in college, and so she likes to think I'm an old dad, and so that's why I reposted it. I don't look at it. I don't know the magazine at all.
What is interesting to me, and I've always wondered about this, is there, even though a lot of magazines have folded, women's quote-unquote magazines, and they were. I shouldn't put women's in quote. They were,
sure.
How to Get Thinner, Fast Recipes, The Best Onion Soup That Ever Happened.
For men, it's always on six-pack abs.
They didn't used to have anything for men before they had, what's that one with the gorgeous men that's mostly read by gay men?
Don't say that. That's not unfair. That's unfair. Men's health.
Why is it unfair?
Men's health. Right.
Yeah. Why is that unfair? I think it's true.
Oh, I like that magazine.
Well, that doesn't mean you're gay.
No, I know, but... It's
not that there's anything wrong with being da 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 da. So, but they don't have, since men are participating so much more in homes and child raising, there isn't a magazine that would include both sports stories, book recommendations, how to dazzle your wife. You're smiling. There's a million things about, how to dazzle your husband after a 20-year marriage.
Right.
And aren't men basically interested, but the smile and the grimace on your face makes me
I think men want to be dazzled after 20 years of marriage.
Yeah.
You can dazzle us. That's no problem.
Don't you want to dazzle back?
Well, I just think that showing up is pretty dazzling for me. You know?
Breathing.
I walk in the house. I say, honey, what's for dinner again tonight? And it's dazzling, really. It's amazing.
You've always done the cooking, right? Are you doing all the cooking now?
I'm not. Sharon does a lot of the cooking, really.
I thought that was your favorite. You just got vocal fry.
You know what? I love cooking, but I don't like cooking for four different appetites. Yeah.
And did that happen in your home?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
That's what we used to call a typical Markey meal.
Right.
Where there were four entrees.
And so it's nice, but I'm just like, well, I'm just not going to do it.
Because you often came into the office and said, I made the best duck scallopini last night with a touch of tangerine sauce.
Do you know how hard you have to hit that duck scallopini to make it just...
Very
nice.
I know.
No, I just don't do it as much anymore. I just don't. So I'm all about going out for dinner tonight.
Where are you going?
Some pizza delivery place. I don't know.
Are you one of those people that doesn't go out on Saturday nights?
We go out usually every other Saturday, maybe. Depends on if the kids are home, and I'm home alone tonight, so...
So you'll go out.
I think we have frozen pizzas in the basement. I'm going to probably have just Tony's frozen pizza.
And then you just watch the NCAA?
Right.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
Have you checked your brackets?
No.
Or are they just a mess? Everybody's a mess.
You know, for the first time ever, I think I'm not in brackets at all.
You didn't do the WGN bracket thing?
I missed that boat.
I did it.
Am I beating you?
I don't know how to find out how I'm doing.
Well, I'm not in it, so I'm assuming I'm probably beating you. So. Which is great for me.
That is true. I don't know how I'm doing. But if anybody has been playing against WGN, I don't know amongst our listeners how many people play against. You know how I did it? You know I always have a theme.
With the colors of the uniforms? Or
yeah, if you're an animal or, you know,
right.
Pick a team that's, you know, or only Wildcats. I think Kathy Winyard did only Wildcats.
No.
Or animals.
Yes. And this year for you?
Nate Silver.
Oh, well, that's...
Nate Silver,
science there.
The Moneyball game movie was based on, because he used to work, it was Oakland, I think, that he did all the data research for. Anyway, I figured, well, he had started out in sports, and I read him politically, and so I basically just said, I'm just taking all Nate Silver's picks, and I'm sure he got trashed, too.
Well, he's not doing very well, I don't think, when it comes to politics or other things.
Oh, no, he's not. He's not at all. Okay, we will be back shortly, and then we will get the news, and you stick with us because Steve's getting perkier and perkier. Talking about a bill that everybody knows.
You make me feel so old.
Why? By having played
because,
that song?
Because I am, and because I know these songs.
And you happen to have suggested that one.
Marilyn Davis Jr. and Billy McCoo, right? Billy?
I don't remember their
individual
names.
From the Fifth Dimension, yeah.
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 But it was more than two people.
Yeah.
It was five.
It was a
right?
Fifth Dimension, but then they kind of broke out on their own. But
oh, they did?
Yeah. Marilyn Davis and Billy McCoo Jr. or something like that.
I don't know. I was listening to Cornel West last night on TV. And
completely different?
Yes, but I want to tell you a name thing.
Okay.
Weren't you just talking about a name thing?
Yeah.
So I said to Tom, you know, there's a movie star named Cornel West. And he said, no, there wasn't. I said, yes, there was. It's like before your time. It's like from the 50s.
Okay.
So I looked it up this morning. It was Cornel Wilde.
Oh.
Do you know what he looks like?
No.
He was like your order from the phone book handsome guy in the 50s.
So why were you listening to Cornel West last night?
It was on TV.
Okay.
I walked into the bedroom and it was on TV.
He's kind of out there, kind of unlike what I would think you would listen to.
Why?
Kind of always unhappy, radical.
Well, yeah. He wants to change things.
Well, I want to change things too, but...
Well, then you're too soft-spoken.
Okay. So Cornel and I have a lot of common.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go back to Bill because I had a really interesting conversation with some people.
Okay. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. There it is. That's them.
You're derailing me.
I'm sorry. It just came back to me. Okay.
Okay. So the conversation that was so interesting, there were four or five of us women sitting around having coffee, and it was about Hillary having stuck with Bill low those many years ago.
Right.
I don't even know what year that whole thing was. Was it 2003?
Well, I covered them, actually. I was with them on Super Tuesday of 1998, right, when he won?
Did he win? 98? I was there, but I don't remember.
88? He beat George W. No. So George Bush won 88 to 92. So this would have been like 91. And they had an event at the Palmer House. And so it's been back to then, yeah.
Okay, so you just put yourself in the story.
Okay. Well, that was the weekend when Hillary Clinton was here, and she went out on the West Side, and she said, "I'm not some Tammy Wynette, standing by my man." That was that weekend, so it would have been 91. It was a first.
That's when the scandal was.
Well, they had come off 60 Minutes, and that was the first sort of Jennifer Flowers, her standing up for him. Yeah.
Okay, but she wasn't still wearing the headband. It wasn't when she. It wasn't still when she was saying, "I don't just sit home and bake cookies," and that was the first brouhaha. It was that one.
That's when she said, "I'm just not some Tammy Wynette standing by my man." Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about the time she really did, and that was what this conversation was about. When she stayed with him, even though she walked ahead after the Monica Lewinsky thing broke, people interpret that in so many different ways, and some at this table said, well, she's really understanding that people are broken, and she has a good capacity for forgiveness, and she believes in commitments. And others say it was always a political move, part of her thirst for power.
Right.
And she said that, this one girlfriend said, and that really transcends her heartbreak and her humiliation. And I don't have any exact way to interpret it. I'd like to hear from girlfriends about this.
312-981. So the idea is she stayed with him out of raw power. If she stayed with him,
one woman felt that way.
Right.
And another said, you know, she knows people are flawed. She's flawed, and that, you know, a lot of women, there was a club here, women who were survivors of infidelity of their husbands, and it was after an alderman had been caught fooling around. It wasn't the one who's coming back. It wasn't Mel Reynolds' wife. I don't know. But people were so polarized then about it. And now all these years have passed, and she's been a senator, and she's been Secretary of State, and she's well-versed in the world in a different way than she would have been as a first lady. She was really out there making policy and stuff. Some you can dispute with.
Sure.
Other not.
Right.
But what do you think kept her in? Was it Chelsea? Was it she had her eye on the ball for 2016, or actually in 2012? And people were so impassioned before, and now I wonder where you stand on this. And I have lost, I was furious with her for years
for staying with him.
And now I see it as, okay, that's water under the bridge. She happens to be my candidate, but I didn't think very highly of her for staying with him at all. And now I think, well, you know, not only does she seem to me to be the most qualified, but you get his mind, too, and I don't think that's a terrible thing to say. I mean,
right.
We have two people in the White House.
Here's the thing. It's a big...
But I stopped being mad at her.
Right.
And you?
It's a big world, you know, and I don't know what's in her head or his head.
No, we're surmising.
Right. And so if they're going to stay together, that's works for them, you know, and that's fine. But, yeah, I can't imagine it's someone who's more qualified right now to hold the office, especially when you look at the Republican side, and they are so, their demeanor.
I feel bad for Republicans.
Their discussion
is
so
shafted.
Well, their discussion is so sort of diluted or gutterized or whatever, you know. And then you see her campaigning, and she does. I can't imagine someone more qualified.
Well, I don't know. This is Ed on the line, and I obviously someone was going to call with this. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Super, yourself?
Good. Though I'm seeing snowflakes again, but go ahead.
We're getting them here, too.
Welcome back to Chicago, Judy.
Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll have them until probably till 4th of July.
So go ahead. Your read on why Hillary stayed in.
I think there are skeletons in Hillary's closet that Bill knows about. And so it's kind of you wash my back, I'll wash yours.
You mean
you think that is, 'cause that's kind of a nefarious view. So you think these two people are so emboldened by the search for power that they would make this sort of deal rather than just someone who's driven by public service.
Absolutely.
Okay, so but wait, you said more than that, Ed.
I'm sorry?
Well, go ahead. Please go ahead.
Well, Hillary went to high school here in the Chicago area. She went to school, I believe it was Park Ridge.
She was at Maine North or Maine South.
Right. And if you talk to some of the people that went to high school with her.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay. And what's their cohesive takeaway, or some of them feel what you're about to say?
She's always been more interested in women than men. And she doesn't want to have that come out. There's a reason that she didn't object to his affair.
We have dropped jaws in the newsroom, but go ahead.
Ed, you're saying because of her sexual desires that she's covering for her husband.
Right. Because their relationship really is non-sexual.
You know, it's like 2016, right? I mean, that's kind of nutty now, isn't it?
No, but at the time, that would have been.
Okay, but I'm talking about now. Now it's kind of a nutty thing.
Because they're caught in the lie. If they were to bring it out into the open now, it just proves that the whole thing's a sham.
So you would have said
into it.
That he would have been, had she not stayed in, he would have been willing to sort of blackmail her with the fact that he would out her, were she to be gay.
I believe so, because they are both so power crazed.
Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to like 1996 or so, 5. And Hillary Clinton's in, or Bill Clinton's in huge trouble. And she's giving this speech about the right-wing conspiracy, and I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. You're saying that the motivation then for her to stand up with him was
stayed. She didn't really stand up with him.
Okay. But she did. And on the Today Show, she said, you know, there's this right-wing conspiracy and all that stuff. So she did stand up for him.
Not right away. I mean, right away, she was very distant, Steve.
Yeah, okay. But you're saying
it was
that's
all
because
a calculated move, because this was their plan, that he would finish his term in office, and then she wanted her turn. It's more of a business relationship from the people I know that have known them. They're outside of political gatherings. They are never together.
I don't doubt that now that's the relationship.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it seems pretty evident, and they're very civil. You know, Ed, very interesting. Steve and I were actually, we were, our jaws dropped.
I'm
when
glad
you, said
you called,
that.
Ed, but yeah. I just think what you're saying, Ed, is so far-fetched, it just doesn't work.
If you think about it, the interview came out this week with the former Miss Arkansas about Hillary. And if you take a look at some of that.
Where was this?
She spoke with one of, I don't remember who the reporter was that she was speaking with. But it was, I saw it on Facebook, I think.
Okay, well.
It was in 3 or 4 segments. But anyway, it was an interview that she did, and she has the same assertions.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just not listening.
Just something to take a look at.
All right. Absolutely.
Thanks, Ed. We're going to fly.
Ed, thank you. And we will be back with your calls to 312-981-7200 regarding what you think is your interpretation of why Hillary stayed in with Bill low those many years ago. Kathy and Judy with Steve Bertrand. Back in a flash.
But I never used a phone booth, and I never seen my toes. When I'm going to the movies, I take off 7 rows because I'm fat, fat, fat. Come on.
What is this from? I'm fat.
Weird Al.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason we're playing that is because a story I read was, it kind of got my back up. It was about employers who offer financial incentives for their employees to improve their health. 4 out of 5 U.S. employers today offer these financial incentives. And the biggest one is losing weight. So when I hear this, I think that's a good thing for, I think that in principle it's a good thing, but if you're already thin, you kind of get screwed. It's like when they have, you know, Netflix just for, you know, $3 for the first 4 months, and you're already a Netflix customer, and you're paying $7.99. It's a little bit like that. But my question is, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's still a good thing? I don't know what the results are of these incentives and what exactly happens, if it's long-term successful, short-term successful, or not at all successful. But have you been in a company where it's been done? Were you a person where you were motivated by that? Because I don't know how much in every company it's going to be a different amount of money. And if you were, are a person to whom that wasn't applicable because you were already feeling fit, how did you respond to that? Our number is 312-981-7200. Steve, did they ever have they ever offered that at WGN or at the Tribune, a health incentive? 4 out of 5 companies do that now, and mostly it has to do, the one that's taken up the most is losing weight, and they get financial incentives.
Not that I've seen very much. They did the smoking thing for a while, but not weight loss or exercise every day, or no, I haven't seen that at all.
Well, as a thin person who never smoked, when they had the smoke deal, did you feel that you were kind of getting screwed because you already don't smoke?
No, I just kind of accept I'm getting screwed with insurance anyway, so it doesn't really matter how much, you know, who else is getting a break. No.
Okay, so it wouldn't bother you?
I don't
if
think
someone
so,
made
no.
an extra 100 or 200
help
a
them.
Year?
No, it's going to help them health-wise. No, I'm fine with that.
Okay, but it didn't have, but you don't remember how much was being offered?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know if money is a motivator. I have this astounding story that from when I was a little girl, and I was a rabid nail biter. And my father always cried poor, but I don't think we were poor. I got to go to camp.
Right.
And we didn't take big family trips, but I got to go to camp. And I had my own bedroom, and it did have silver deers on the wall, and they couldn't afford to change the wallpaper.
Silver deers
against a pink background. Mm, remember, this
nice.
Was 1956.
Yeah. Jealous there a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. But he offered me $1,000. I'm 10.
Wow.
$1,000. Imagine how much money that was then. And I think he was earning, like, hoping to earn $30,000. That sticks in my head. So that's a chunk of change to go to just getting his daughter to stop biting her nails. I had no idea what $1,000 was. I mean,
sure, right.
Really. And I was not motivated in the least.
So
they never tried to bribe me for
had he offered
grades.
You something like
Something more tangible.
Good and plenties for life, right? It might have had more
Absolutely
impact.
Would
yeah.
have been more motivating.
Right.
But then he'd
exactly.
have to offer me money to lose weight. So
eventually,
it would be a very vicious cycle.
All right, we've got
Lisa.
Lisa on line one. Lisa.
Ah.
Lisa?
Lisa went away.
There you go.
Wow, no, I'm right here. That was fast. Jeez.
Okay.
Good morning. I hope you both are feeling a little better than when you started out, you know, after Lou. I was calling to say that my mother taught me well. Whenever I find that somebody I know who might have the same credit card as I am or is getting a new credit card is being offered an introductory low rate, I will call said credit card company and say, look, I've been a customer for such and such amount of time, and you're taking on this new customer who's getting 0%. And if you stick to it long enough, you too will end up with that same low rate.
Okay, that's kind of business, right? That's not quite.
How much time does it take to convince them that that's what you're due?
Top 10 to 20 minutes. And I've done that with multiple things. You know, I'm a customer. You're giving this customer, you know, I'll see it in an ad in the paper saying new customers such and such. Well, you know, why can't I have that? I'm an established customer. You've had my business.
So is that like with a Comcast? You would do that, or an AT&T, or
any of them? Oh, especially the cable companies, and like you said, Netflix.
Would you pay $3 a month for cable now?
Not $3 a month, but it's pretty low. And you know, we do it regularly. We do the same thing with our, you know, our property taxes. You know, we will contest them, and I'm telling you, just the 10, 20, even sometimes as long as 30 minutes, especially like with the property taxes, you might have to go and file paperwork and things like that.
Yeah, and you have to get comps.
It's certainly worth it. You know, I have three kids, one heading off to college in the fall and two shortly thereafter. Every dollar counts.
Well, that is true.
The time in.
Have you ever been shot down?
Occasionally, but, you know, it's perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, you know.
So you just call them again, or do you go to another withdraw credit card company?
I would say, well, if you can't help me, I'd like to speak with your manager. If the manager can't help me, I'd like to speak with your supervisor, you know, and I'll go up the chain.
Wow, you are tenacious.
You win some, you lose some, right?
But mostly she wins.
When you win, it's certainly worth the time that you've spent. You know, I've been a stay-at-home mom. I work part-time now. I have the time to do it.
That is great.
Well, thanks for calling.
You're an inspiration to all of us.
You just have to not give up.
Okay.
We're going to move on to Judy. Judy, welcome to 720 WGN.
That's Jody.
Jody, I'm sorry.
Hi.
It's my new eyes. I can't quite see.
It's okay. Hi, you guys.
We're good.
I want to let you know that I think I'm doing a significant experience for employees who work for major corporations.
You personally are doing it?
My company does it.
Okay.
They decide to develop a wellness program. And they say, if you participate, here are the potential points you can get off your health insurance screening.
Okay.
In other words, you either get flat cash. Okay, if you pass, we'll put $250 or $500 in your HSA account, or we're going to take off $500 a month on your premium.
What? $500? Wow.
Yeah. And I've seen it. And the thing of it is, that's the good part. Okay, that's great for the healthy people, like you were saying. I don't smoke, so why should I be penalized? But the thing of it is if they find signs of carnitine, they call it, or, you know, smoke in your blood or hemoglobin or whatever might just touch on, say, a pre-diabetes program, they will let you know in confidence. None of it goes directly to their bosses. Okay, this is all done by a third party. If they pass, wonderful. Then they're healthy.
And so wait, you're saying if you start out initially healthy and you take the fit person test and you're fit, you drop the premium?
Absolutely. If you're already fit and you already don't smoke and you already are not a diabetic, for instance, you get an incentive on your premium. And I can't help but think that's a win-win. This person that you just described is going to pay a lot less for their health insurance at that company.
But then that works against, I mean, the flip side is, even though I was saying it doesn't seem to be fair that fit people don't, you know, don't get the benefit. In your case, they do. But what happens is that somebody who has diabetes, who it may or may not be the causal thing, be their eating.
Right.
Why should they be punished? It's like being punished for cancer.
They're not really being punished. Okay, so they go into one of our testing centers. They have the blood draw. The company has determined what they're looking for. They're looking for body mass index. They're looking for blood sugar level. They're looking for nicotine in your system. And if it comes back and you are informed that, you know what, your blood sugar is a little
high,
they hire a coach free, for the employee again, free, to get them where they need to
Last question, because we have to run, but here's my question.
Okay.
How do you keep a control thing on this, like to make sure that a year hence or even 5 months hence that the whole thing hasn't turned backward again?
The third-party health insurance administrator, sometimes it's somebody like Aetna, somebody like one company has a healthy living profile. They are going to come back to the corporation. And they're going to say, you know what, Jody, your blood sugar is really high, and we're concerned about that. We don't know how to fix it, but we want you to go to your doctor, have it checked out, and if he said it's curable, quote unquote, we're going to give you a health coach for 6 months.
Okay.
And you can still get your benefit. You might not get it in your next paycheck, but if you go to your quote coach and enter the program, it's done for smoking as well, you get points for that.
Okay.
You can work toward lowering that premium.
Jody, we need to take a break, but have you seen lives changed by this?
Have I seen lives change? No, I can't say that. The closest thing I came to was an employee for one of the companies that's our client quit smoking cold turkey. And I said, what do you mean you did it cold turkey? And she said, I did it cold turkey. I had to do it cold turkey. I wanted to do it that way. And I have my nicotine coach, and I go to her 6 months, and when she's done with the program, she'll get points back. So just by participating and knowing your lows, knowing the things you need to work on, you'll get a coach. You won't get your money right away. But if 6 months later, you can show you've been to the coach, I don't use nicotine anymore, test me again.
Okay.
And you will.
All right. Jody, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great Saturday.
You too. And we'll be back. It's Kathy and Judy Show with Steve Bertrand starring today. And
that's overstating it, I think.
We will take your calls at 312-981-7200 on wellness programs. Is it a fair situation that people get paid money for getting healthy when you've already been healthy, or has it helped you, as Steve said, changed your life? I want to thank you anyway, though.
Really? I didn't do much today, so.
And Mike Heidemann, who was filling in for Kristen Decker. And
who
is
best known as the producer of the Business Lunch on 720.
Mike Heidemann?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. He's working
he's
for a
He's my Monday through Friday guy.
Oh, your business.
Yeah.
Business Lunch.
Wonderful guy.
Amy's.
Yeah, I was really confused for a second. I was like, wait, Griffin's right there.
Griffin Filipich is a wonderful man.
Wait, let me finish my thank yous.
Well.
I want to thank Susan Berkus, and I want to thank Bob Ferguson, and I want to say to Amy Guth, who has our next show, the Saturday Business Lunch Show.
Hello.
What's on?
You know what? We're going to kick things off today talking with the co-founder of an app called Tip Yourself. It is a way you can reward yourself for doing good. You know, it kind of some of the stuff you were talking about just a bit ago. If if you're working out or making healthy choices, or if you're getting everything off your to-do list or whatever it is you want to do, you can kind of put money in a tip jar for yourself and set that aside. It's kind of an interesting, a different way of saving other than I have to save X percent of my income every week. It's just kind of, I'm going to put a dollar in here, a dollar in there, or however much. So we're going to be talking with the co-founder there. It's going to be good.
And it's a local business.
Yes, yes.
Local app.
He's right there in the green room now.
Oh, my God. I'll meet him when I get my coat.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.